This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 205 on the dots. Happy Thursday. So Andrew is better, but still sick. So he's taking one more day off. He should be back tomorrow. Wheeler's down. He has some sort of a throat problem, and he may be back on the show tomorrow remotely from home, but we don't want him to come in and get the rest of us sick. So we have Michael Kelly from Hancock & Kelly was kind enough to come in. He'll be here until 4. Our friend Janelle, who typically is just here on Thursdays for a couple of segments at 3 p.m., came in as well. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Very, very nice. James Hoyt says, the two hotties in radio, Amy and Razor, F yeah. And just when I was feeling left out, he says, Dave is a sexy beanie head. Awesome voice.
I like this James guy.
Yeah, he's okay. Sexy beanie head.
You would think that Wheeler would be able to think away a cold. You know what I mean? Bold as he is about, you know.
Rage it away.
I decided I needed to lose 10 pounds, so I just said to myself, I'm not eating.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, I was down 10 pounds.
I don't know if you heard the first hour, but it was Rach and I were sitting at lunch today, and I said, what was it that you said yesterday that made Wheeler lose his mind?
I did hear that.
And we were just laughing because she said something about Elon and the five, you know, bullet points. And she's like, I don't know. I don't think it's unfair to ask an employee
right.
to fill out five things that you did last week. And he goes, kiss my ass.
He was so sincere. I love him.
Well, there's no wiggle position with Wheeler. Like, he'd
Never.
Be a hard candidate
no.
for politics because you're going to be walking back almost everything he said because everything's so certain that
yeah.
comes from Kevin.
Well, when we first met him, he was on the show about 6 months before he was on the show. He would just come in and be on the show every day. This happened with a few people over time. And he remember when he got so angry on and off the air at the way that Donald Trump debates. And he said, I would give anything to debate Donald Trump. So I don't know him that well. And I'm just sort of like, oh, tee hee. And then he just kept yelling. And he just wouldn't stop. I'm like, okay.
I would pay. I would actually pay to watch it. Between those.
Oh, yes.
On. You forget the Tyson-Logan fight. Give me that.
It would be
epic.
James is weighing back in and saying, love the tats, gal. So, I mean.
Thank you.
This is fun.
Coming your way, Michael Kelly.
Yeah, get ready.
Be careful.
That big shock of prematurely gray hair you got. Very sexy.
Yeah, right.
Razor's Edge?
Oh, yes. Okay, what did I want to talk about for Razor's Edge today? Let me look.
Jason said
here.
Wheeler's way more handsome today.
Okay, speaking of Elon Musk, he did an interview last year about, you know, the rise of AI. And I thought this was really interesting because he was predicting universal basic income and not, I shouldn't say universal basic income because that makes it sound like, oh, everyone gets like $2,000 a month or something. But he was saying it'll probably get to a point where AI will do every job and then people will get like a decent amount of money every month, like a high amount of money, and resources and stuff will be plentiful. And you'll only work if you want to work. He said there's about, and I mean, this is Elon Musk saying this. He's by no means like the end all be all, but he looks into this more than other people, right? He said there's probably an 80% chance of things heading in that direction eventually. But then he brought up the fact that if you get rid of work, even if you have everything you need, what does that do psychologically to a population? And I just thought that was kind of interesting and something to discuss because, you know, as much as I love the idea of like, oh, I could just have money and get everything I need and I wouldn't have to be responsible for anything. When you remove that responsibility, what does that really leave you with at the end of the day? Like, what kind of purpose? Not saying like everyone's purpose is to work or to do something for a corporation, but it is nice to have something to do every day, something to make you feel productive every day.
Yeah. Reminds me when I was very religious in my late teens and early 20s. And going to a very fundamentalist church and lots about heaven and hell. And they were describing heaven. And they're like, all you'll do is just sing hosannas for eternity. And I was very religious. And I raised my hand. I'm like, I got maybe 10,000 years of hosannas in me. And then I'm looking for the exit. You know, like, and then I remember one time, the reason I'm telling this is they said, oh, no, we'll all have jobs in heaven. You'll have something to do. And it'll just, and I thought, oh, good. Even like as a much younger person, I was relieved by that.
Really? I never heard that in church, that you would have a job or something to do.
I'm sure they made it up. I mean, I don't think
they're just trying to make you feel better.
I don't
about
think there's anything in the Bible that says like apply here, not like B movie, but
I'm a heaven plumber.
Right. Yeah.
But going back to your point, isn't there statistics out there? It's like after a person retires, if they're not working, like the life expectancy, if you're
goes
not
down.
Doing, yeah, it drops dramatically if you're not productive in some sort of way. So I would assume that most people's inclination and instinct is to do something, produce something, create something.
You see a lot of people, I mostly hear about men, I'm sure it happens with women as well, but you hear about a lot of people who have very successful long careers, work sometimes until 65 or 70, retire, and within a month they're back doing something. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, the idle mind thing. It's one of the, you know, it's been the struggle of humanity since the beginning of time. The Buddha talks about it. And I can't imagine, you know, when you think about going back in time, we had a brain that has this incredible computing power, and it was to keep us alive, to survive. I mean, literally to go hunt and eat and make stuff. And not, I mean, think about it. None of us have to worry about that stuff anymore. As a result, we have more people with depression and the things that play mind games. It would make me worried what, almost like one of these sci-fi Tom Cruise movies where they're just harnessing brain power because the brain has nothing else to do. And it, I would worry about it in my own life, not having anything to do. I don't know.
There's a... SpongeBob is sort of my I Ching, and there was a great episode where Mr. Burns sells the Krusty Krab, and he gets a ton of money, and he goes out the next day, and he plays golf, and he does every single thing he wants to do, and by the end of the day, he's bored, and he buys the Krusty Krab back. And I remember saying to the kids who were small and wondering why I was talking to them, I'm like, I bet that's the way it is. I bet if you really do like hit the jackpot and retire, I bet you're bored really quickly.
Totally.
This is a only slightly related thing, but Dr. Rubicki, who started Neovitin, my client, the multivitamin, beat pancreatic cancer, which like 99% of people don't.
Right.
And we were having breakfast in the West End one time, and he said that after that, he said, my wife and I made a pact to live every single day to the fullest like it was our last day. And I said, how long did that last? And without hesitating, he said, 1 year. He said, after 1 year, it was exhausting, and we just went back to kind of living every day like we did before. I thought that was really interesting, too.
Probably because there's a good gray area of work and relaxation. You know, I mean, like, if he's going constantly and making use of every minute of every day, that's got to be exhausting, mm-hmm. too. So, I mean, there's work, and then there's, you know, I mean, even when you're powerlifting and weightlifting, rest time is important. So I can't imagine that even for your brain, it's no different. It's just, I think sometimes too many people have too much rest and, you know, their brains are going soft.
And there's kind of, I think we all kind of want what we don't have. And when you're in the white hot intensity of your career and kids and, you know, aging parents, you're just like, I just want to sit and do nothing. It's all I want. But then you get that and you're like, oh, I miss the chase, and I miss, you know, going to work and seeing my pals and things like that.
You wonder if, like, wasn't the New Deal, didn't they just create jobs like, hey, we're going to move bricks from one lot to another, right. And we're not actually moving anything.
We're gonna build a dam.
Yeah. I just wonder if that's what the government will do in the future, too. Like, hey, if you want, you can come show up to this job. Are you actually doing anything? No, but so it gives you something to do throughout the day.
So they're back to creating federal jobs.
Yeah. One of the questions you asked at the beginning of this, too, was, you know, Elon Musk says this is going to happen. I have a vivid memory of listening to the news, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago. And it was an interview with Bill Gates where, you know, and the mouse was still new. And he was like, someday, you're not going to need the keyboard. You're going to have the mouse. You're just going to point and click. And he was like, and there's going to be, you know, roving grocery stores that are going to drop stuff off at your house. And I think about that a lot now that I'm actually living what the man predicted. So I kind of do believe what Elon Musk is saying, that, hey, we've got to go figure this out. And what's it going to do for us? You know, look at what we've got going on right now with people wanting to harm others because of their mental health.
Right. Well, have you heard of this new, and I'm sorry if I'm going to set off anyone's personal assistance, but I'm going to say it, this new Alexa that's coming out. For $20 a month, this Alexa will streamline your whole life. This is like George used to talk about this on the show, Dave. Like, these AI assistants are not just going to be able to do the things they do now. They're going to know you personally. So if you say, hey, give me a recipe for pizza, and you're a vegetarian, you don't have to specify, show me vegetarian pizzas. They say, oh, I know this person and they're a vegetarian, so here's the things that fit into their life. Oh, they're telling me that they have an appointment with the doctor on Wednesday at 9:30, but I know they have a different appointment there, so I'm going to switch this around. This is coming. It's coming soon. It's free for people who have Prime. And this is just going to be the type of thing. The other day I said, we're just going to be at the point where we don't have to think anymore. Like, we won't have to schedule. We won't have to run our own lives. These AI assistants are going to do it for us, which on one hand sounds great. And on the other hand is a little terrifying, because what is our purpose then at that point? If we're not running our own lives anymore, if we're not making our own decisions, if we're going everything by the algorithm put this in front of me, and yeah, it's great. Yeah, it makes me feel good, but I really in control of myself at this point.
So I don't know exactly what the singularity is. I keep hearing it, and I've read a couple articles, and something about AI reaching the singularity where it's now smarter than humans and it doesn't need humans, or it turns against us or something. And they thought that it would be 2050, and I just saw an article this morning, I think it was Scientific American, that said it could be 12 months.
Yeah, I saw that,
it could be 2026.
Buckle up, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
When do we get the good stuff, though? Like solving the cancer,
yeah,
right.
Making blind people see? Because that's one of the things I'm excited about that,
right.
I think they're going to be able to figure out.
It really makes a big difference in life. Effort.
You're so right.
I am such a procrastinator. I'm terrible, absolutely terrible. And for example, I've had stuff to get done at the DMV, and I've just been putting it off and dreading it. And not doing it. And each morning I'm like, well, I can't do it today. And then, like, you have a decent day. And then the next night you're like, ugh. And then yesterday I went and I did it. And it went fine. And I got it over with. And now it's in my rear view. Yeah. Just effort.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
It wasn't as bad as you anticipated?
No.
I'm in the similar crisis. I'm a month late on the tag that my car needs. Not the license plate tag, but it's a tag for my EV. And I did make the effort. I went to where the license office used to be on Lindell. It's no longer there. They're like pulling on the door. And so I got to figure out where to go. And that was like a week ago.
Yeah.
I was supposed to figure out where to go. So, and you're right. It's just like the whole anticipation of it. But once you go through it, mm-hmm. it's fine, right? It's like running that marathon.
You've gotten enough tattoos to know that when you have that second skin that they pull on it, you just have to, the more you like slowly tug on it, the worse it is.
Yeah.
You just kind of got to.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's, yeah, just get it over with.
That is some of the worst part of getting a tattoo.
Is pulling that off.
Is pulling the bandage off.
Yeah. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, they'll tattoo you and then they put like a nice, you know, clear film over it to like second, it's called second skin, just to protect it and like all like the fluid and everything uh-huh. builds up and they let, you know, about 3 to 5 days you're supposed to keep it on and then after that you can peel it off for it, so it can start to heal.
And is it as painful as the needle putting the...
Well, no. No. It's just like having a really...
It's like having a sunburn.
Yeah.
And then, the and then, like a sunburn. Then putting a bunch of Band-Aids on the sunburn and ripping it off.
Oof.
Yeah. So it's pretty bad.
Oh.
So yeah, no, it's great. So you just keep going back for it.
Sometimes I have dreams that I got like a bunch of tattoos that I don't like.
Oh. Huh.
Like, I had a dream once that I got a tattoo of an elephant on my arm, and I was like, why did I do this? I was so relieved when I woke up.
I haven't had those. And then, so they put a clear, you know, tape over it.
Right.
And it's hot to the touch.
Yeah.
And
skin's, yeah, healing.
Healing. And then there's a mixture of color and blood.
Yeah.
Oh.
Underneath it.
Oh. And you've got this for several days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you've got to go through the pain of pulling it off.
Right.
Yes.
So what?
And then you have the pain, and then you have the irritation of it itching when it's healing, and you can't scratch it, so you have to slap it.
So is this a part of the experience of a tattoo, or?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, tech.
Is it part of what you like?
No. Oh. No, I mean, that's the, like, you just have to do it. The part is, you know, creating the design and having it done, and then once it's done flaking off, then the.
Is it all right that I keep asking questions?
Yeah, of course.
when you did the first one, were you young enough that there wasn't an acceptance? Because I mean, you make these decisions, you're making them for life.
Young enough, I was 40 when I got my first one.
Is that right?
And I got
like
it on my ribs.
2 years ago.
Well, 8.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got it on my ribs. Yeah.
And then it was
well,
just
I mean, I figured by 40, I knew kind of what I liked and what I didn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I think I was 55 when I got my first one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And what do you get the question, like, was there an acceptance of, okay, this is something I'm committed to for the rest of my life?
Yeah. And you actually, I don't know if you're like this, but like now when you look at them, like it's hard to even remember I have them until somebody says, oh, I like your tattoos. And then I'm like, oh, that's right. Like, when I'm in the mirror getting ready, I don't notice them at all. I don't. It's not like I sit there and...
Same.
Mm-hmm.
I
forget what I have. Like, I have them all down both arms, so I don't see the ones in the back of my forearms, and I get mixed up, and someone will be like, what's this? I'm like, I have no idea.
Right.
Oh, it's Icarus.
You mean to tell me when Post Malone looks in the mirror, he doesn't see all the tattoos on his face?
There's a good chance he doesn't. I mean, it's like you just get used to, like, this is my appearance, and yeah, like, somebody will come up to me and be like, I love Maleficent, too, and I'm like, great, and then they're like, they'll point at my arm, and I'm like, oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what made me get my first one, I think, because Nick had a couple of them, but about 20 minutes in, I'm like, well, this is the last one I'll ever get. I mean, this is stupid, and it hurts really bad, and it's going to take like 5 hours. And I felt that way all the way through it and after it. And then a month later, I'm like, I think I might get another one.
Wow. It's been about
12.
Who has more tattoos now, you or Nick?
Definitely me. Yeah. Nick probably has 4 or 5.
Okay.
I think I have a dozen or 15, something like that. But he has some rough ones. Like, he has one on his rib cage that I saw him get.
Ouch.
He has one right on his chest and his sternum I saw him get. Yeah, that didn't look good at all.
Yeah.
And you just started just a couple of years back as well?
5 years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And KMOX. Andrew should be back tomorrow. He's still suffering. Wheeler's out today. He has a really bad sore throat, so we told him just to take the day off. And hopefully he will be able to call in on the access machine at his house tomorrow, and we get the whole crew back together again. Michael Kelly and Janelle are sitting in with us for a while, so we appreciate that. Kay says, getting a tattoo must be sort of like having a baby. When you're in labor, you say you're never going to have another one. Then afterwards, you're like, it wasn't so bad. We'll have another one. I've never had a baby, but I think the concept makes sense to me.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because you kind of forget. Labor was painful, but I can't remember what labor was. I just know it was painful. But it's like, tattoos are a little bit like, I kind of know because I've gotten sunburns before, and you know what a sunburn feels like. And some people, after they give birth to one, they're like, never again. So, I guess they can be like this.
Would you ever get a tattoo, Mike?
No. I don't think you could get me drunk enough and hold me down.
They won't tattoo you.
Is it the pain, the permanency?
The permanence. I just can't imagine there's anything that surely my 28-year-old Michael would have done that my 40-year-old Michael would have liked.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just stuck with me. I'm curious about them, though. And I see them everywhere now. And I have to tell you, at times, I'm judgy on young people. I'm like, wow, how old are you that you already have a tattoo? You know, because you'll see like...
Happens quick.
A girl that's 14 or 15. I'm like, really?
Well, 15, the parents have to sign off of it. So that's more of them. But so anything after 18, you're allowed to do without a parent signature.
Right.
So Janelle, what if, not if, when they have a process
of putting a tattoo on you that's not much worse than a temporary tattoo. Like, they're able to just put it on your skin and heat it up for 2 minutes and it's comfortable and they take it off and you have a permanent tattoo.
I mean, yeah, I mean, like, with everything, I mean, it would be the same thing as with, like, anesthesia. You know, women at one time gave birth without an epidural. Sure, so when it came through, I'm sure there were some that were like, you know, there's even some now that are like, unless you do it natural, you know, it's not a real labor. But I still don't do the numbing cream. So I don't know. I mean, part of the process is you knowing that you're there and you're tough enough to sit through needles going into your skin for a couple hours. There's something kind of like, yeah, I can, not everybody can do this.
Yeah.
So
I did numbing cream on this one. I'll show the camera, my hawk or whatever it is right there in my sternum. And I'm so glad I did, because when it wore off, it really hurt. Like, half of it, I'm like, this is the easiest tattoo I've ever had.
Oof.
And then the second half, after he'd wiped it all off, I'm like, maybe I just want a half a hawk.
Oof.
That's all I need.
Yeah, I've heard that, like, sometimes it can be worse.
That's what my tattooer says.
Yes. And so it's like, I've never even, I'm like, listen, I already know it's going to be bad. Why don't we just start off being bad and just kind of get used to that bad? And maybe I can numb my, and I think women have a stronger pain tolerance because of birth. So it's like I can pick a spot on the wall and just breathe through the tattoo. So yeah, it's not too.
Janelle was saying, so Janelle has her graduate degree in history and she's a movie reviewer. And it personally hurt her when we did the Sweet 16 of best historic movies and Monty Python and the Holy Grail one. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, I had to turn the radio off. I couldn't.
You could see it coming, couldn't you?
I couldn't listen to it live anymore. I was able to listen to it on the podcast later because at that point I couldn't chime in. I couldn't just furiously type.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. We kind of went chunk of cheese mode with Monty Python.
Yeah, I was like, of all those great historical movies out there, there's so many. Braveheart didn't even make the list.
No.
Wow. Historic movie? And Monty Python qualified? Was Spaceballs,
I think it was
one of
Dave's
the others?
Pick.
It was my pick.
Spaceballs?
No, Monty Python. And I didn't think they would allow it. I'm like, this is kind of stupid. No one's going to like this. And they not only liked it, but it won.
Mine would have been the Ten Commandments.
I didn't even think about that one.
Troy.
Yeah. Sure.
300.
Yeah. All makes sense now.
Yeah.
After the fact.
Yeah, no, it hurt part of me inside.
And you know, that I think The Life of Brian is the best of the Monty Python.
Probably.
Movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Holy Grail's the classic.
Yeah.
Everyone's seen that. Right. Life of Brian's a little more in the weeds.
What's he saying up there?
The cheesemakers.
He goes in to get his unemployment and B. Arthur's there. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking? What job I think I would like? And I've thought this for a really long time. From the first time I heard it. And Michael Kelly, you'll probably know more about this than any of the rest of us. But being a part of a think tank.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You'd like to be in one?
Oh, my gosh. I think I would. Now, right. I don't know what I envision is you get there and you're having some coffee and you go into a big room and they're like, what do you think about the economy? And you just like sit back. You're like, well, let me tell you. And then you go have lunch and you do it again till 5 and you leave.
Like an editorial board meeting.
Right.
Yeah, just a bunch of professors sitting around. I'm sure there are a couple of folks who do that at think tanks, but mainly what think tanks are doing is executing on that which is put together. And most of the think tanks that we see, you know, put together sample legislation that can go and then be implemented in other places. So I don't think it's as glamorous
easy breezy
as it sounds. I think it's a lot of like organizing on the ground and stuff. I'm sure for the couple of people at the top, it's that
anytime way. When I see like a talking head on television, they're like, oh, this he's senior policy advisor with the Brookings Institute.
Right.
I'm like, wow.
They're giving him a check to be a stuffed suit.
Yeah, like that. That's really cool. Senior policy advisor.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, I couldn't do that with movies. You know, like, what they always say, like, the critic, like, people give their thoughts about, a first screen, not a screening after it's been edited and thrown together, but just kind of as it's going on, just like, what do you think of that? And where you're able to go, like, that's stupid. You know, like, no, put that on the screen. Nobody's going to
like
that.
You do that?
No, I would love
to. You wish
to.
You could, yeah.
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 Yeah, there's a lot of things that are on, you know, that make the movie that you're just like, that Why did we make that choice? But they're not asking me.
You know, we were saying earlier, I don't know if you heard me say that I'm wearing this hoodie for one reason, because Noah Wiley wears one like it in the series The Pit.
Yeah.
And I just want to be him.
Really? And he's like, he was the heartthrob on ER. I hear everybody talking about The Pit. I would like to see it, I guess. I hear there's lots of blood and guts.
Yeah, it's very realistic.
Guy. But he was like the young heartthrob, and now he's like the old man that manages the place.
Yeah, now he's the attending.
Doesn't that feel a bit depressing that you've seen this man's career go from intern to...
Sort of like Billy Joel.
Think tank.
Like, yeah, seeing
Billy Joel.
Seeing Billy Joel fall and seeing Noah Wiley be the old man.
I don't want to see the Billy Joel fall down.
Yeah.
I love him. I said, you guys all watch the Saturday Night Live special, right?
Some of it.
Yeah. It ended with Paul McCartney, who is like a living Beethoven, right? I mean, it's unbelievable that the man's alive. I was really depressed.
I heard he didn't sound great.
Yeah, and I've recently been to a couple of his concerts where I'm like, Billy Joel's there, and then I saw something with Willie Nelson. You know, it was 91 the other day. This is all killing me.
That's how I felt about seeing Harrison Ford in Captain America, just his voice and how he just, it's not so much gravelly as you just know, it's like he's slowing down in his speech, and he's not Han Solo anymore, or Indiana Jones, so yeah, I get it.
You know what I was thinking too about aging? The general who Trump just fired, 4-star general, CQ something, African-American gentleman, he's a 4-star general and he's probably mid-60s. And at one point he was a buck private and just getting yelled at and didn't know his, you know, ass with both hands. And it just amazes me that people can do so much in a single core of your lifetime, like from 25 to 55. So many people become surgeons, accomplished lawyers, 4-star generals. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, I get it. That's what
radio hosts for 25.
I know, but I never think of it that way. Like, here's how bad I have it for Noah Wiley. I was thinking.
You don't have to explain how
I was
bad.
Thinking last
You're
night. I was telling myself, well, you're the attending physician for the DGS. Then I went down the rabbit hole. And I'm like, Rach has finished her residency. Now she's in her fellowship. And then I got to Wheeler, and I was just like, I don't even want to talk about Wheeler.
It's not a fun exercise anymore.
Yeah, he's like
a grouchy nurse.
Yeah, yes.
He's the seasoned
nurse.
He's
the charge nurse. Yeah. Telling everyone what to do and to kiss his ass.
My contract says I don't have to deal with bedpans.
Then what would that make Andrew?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I really don't.
I don't either.
Isaac? From the Love Boat?
The bartender?
Yeah.
The hospital?
The comic relief? Yeah, I was going down all sorts of rabbit holes.
Titles are ridiculous, though, right? Like, when you hear all these titles, you know, executive, secretary, blah, blah, blah. That's just all crazy.
They've always got me. I've always, because I didn't grow up with money. I didn't grow up with academia. So things like that, you might as well have just said astronaut or play shortstop for the Cardinals. So like Janelle saying, like, our 25 years with a radio career. But I just never think of myself in any terms like that. I'm sure it's just my insecurity, just like a defense mechanism. But did you guys hear us talking about the Kegs and Eggs Day, what we're doing?
Kind of.
Okay, so it's really cool. We had a Zoom this morning, and Steve rolled it out to all of us. And there are two events going on opening day with KMOX. First of all, it's typically been Kegs and Eggs, which if you've been, you know, it's a big tent. It's outdoors, and you never know what the weather's going to be like. Could be a really cold day. So we are taking over Cardinal Nation, the big giant bar and event space at Ballpark Village. And from 8 in the morning until 10:30 is a ticketed event that is a celebration of the 1985 World Championship team, including Vince Coleman's going to be there the whole time, and Tom Ackerman is going to host it. We're not broadcasting it, so it's going to be even more honest and really fun and exciting. And you're also going to get a breakfast buffet with bottomless mimosas and Bloody Marys, a complimentary Budweiser draft, and a commemorative mug. All of this is just $60 a piece, but you have to buy tables. So you can buy a table for 2, 4, 5, 6, or 8. Then the Kegs and Eggs is going to be in the same space. We will be broadcasting live. That one is $85 per person. You buy a table, same kind of thing. But it's got like a bigger buffet and mixed drinks, and it's a great place to pregame before the game so that you can literally get all of your drinks and all of your food for $85, which Mike can tell you, having season tickets, like once you go inside, $85 is going to maybe buy you one round, and that's it. So if you're interested, go to KMOX.com, and you can buy your tickets there. I know this is like a self-serving thing, saying, oh, you better hurry because they're going to be gone, but we typically sell 500 tickets to Kegs and Eggs, and we only have 200 to sell this time. So I kind of hurry up.
I'm excited. I'm excited to be at Cardinals Nation, to be inside. You know, if it's a little chilly that day, you don't have to worry about it. So I think it's going to be a good time. And they have the menu listed on KMOX.com/events. I'm excited for the food. That's what I will be, you know, mainly partaking in. But you can see what there is to eat up on the website. So
welcome back, DGS 249. Andrew and Wheels both down and out today. Hopefully they'll both be back one way or another tomorrow. Michael Kelly from Hancock and Kelly and Janelle, who does our movie reviews, are hanging out. So you got your graduate degree in history. What was your time frame you really studied?
No, to be honest, I'm short. I'm a thesis short of my graduate degree in history. Well, I mean, I don't want people coming at me and saying we search the interweb. I mean,
so can you do that anytime?
Yeah, I could go back at any time. Mm-hmm.
And is that like 2 years to do a thesis thing? Or?
No, it would take a couple semesters, 2, 3, some, you know.
And what was your years that you really focused on?
The Civil War years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, this might impress you that I know this.
Okay.
Do you know about impoundment? So that's what's going on right now with President Trump. I didn't know this until I heard it. It's when the president, so we all know that Congress controls the purse strings and they decide who gets paid and when and what. And then the president has this right called impoundment where they can say, yeah, thank you, Congress, but I'm not going to do that. And the first time we have a history of this is in 1803 with Thomas Jefferson. And we thought we were going to have to fight the French along the Mississippi River. And so Congress earmarked $50,000 to build a bunch of structures to be ready to fight the French. Well, then we get the Louisiana Purchase. Now we're buddies with the French and we don't need to spend that. And so Jefferson said, and they only met once a year back then. So when Congress showed up again, he's like, oh, hey, by the way, boys, that $50,000, clearly we didn't need to spend that. We're not going to war with France. So I just kept that in the coffers. They were like, cool, good to see you, man. And then Nixon did it. Most presidents do it a little bit. Nixon did it, and it was a third of the budget. He just kind of went through and said, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like that. Went to the Supreme Court on this one issue, and the Supreme Court said, no, Mr. Nixon, you have to pay the total amount that Congress earmarked, because it was $1 million. He wanted to pay $500,000. So now Donald Trump is going back and saying what I'm doing is more like Jefferson, less like Nixon. So that's going to be the whole rub that the Supreme Court, when they take this up, as they will, because he's, you know, just kind of slashing everything. But I thought that was really interesting.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can see the arguments for both sides. And I think that's one of the things that President Trump's up to is he's wanting to test those boundaries to see what can be done. It will be interesting to see how the court rules on it.
What do you think? What's your gut?
I don't
see. It's kind of his
yet
court.
We've yet to see this court really push back. Now, there's been a lot of the things related to USAID and some of the folks that have been challenged, some of the things that he's tried to implement that have been challenged that were clearly a violation of the Constitution. They've pushed back on those, but we've not seen a major, major challenge yet that's going to bring a halt to this. And it would be interesting to see how that argument gets made before the court.
I think we're building towards it, though. I think there's going to be, I think that you can't help but everything that's happening. There's going to be, and I mean, there's push right now by Elon to just have all those judges that are blocking them impeached. So,
I mean, sometimes our system and our democracy needs checked. Rosa Parks eating at the lunch counter, those things needed checked, and they were changed. So, philosophically, I don't mind when someone, even someone like Donald Trump, who I don't care for personally, pushes the envelope so far that someone sues, and then it goes through the court system. That's how we find our parameters. So we're going to find those parameters. Either we're going to have new ones, like the court decided last time about immunity, that really was a game changer. They could do the same thing.
Yeah. I guess my big question is, I mean, at the end of the day, this man's not going to be president forever. He's leaving in 4 years. And with the swings we've seen in our electorate, it could be Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren sitting there.
Yeah.
And is this what we've set forth? Like, I gather that a bunch of people are cheering and like to see right. the boundaries pushed. But realize we've opened up a swing factor now that what are the presidents when they get elected? Now, my first 100 days, I'll do 100 executive orders a day. On how we're going to govern, and we just go back to this other side of the pendulum?
It always strikes me that every side operates as if the other side will never, ever get back into office.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that's the strangest thought to me, that you're setting precedent. You can't complain. You're setting precedents for whatever you're doing right now for right. the other side to do right back to you, and yet you will complain, and everybody will be called hypocrites, and nothing will have changed.
Well, and they'll be interesting to see if there's consequences because, look, a lot of what President Trump is up to with the cutbacks, et cetera, it really affects red America. And we started to see pushback at that as it relates to a lot of these town hall meetings.
But aren't they canceling them now?
Yeah, but we're seeing the party still stay firmly in this Trump camp. It'll be interesting to see a backlash which never has really penalized Donald Trump, whether or not that cloak of safety will extend to a lot of these folks who are like, what do you mean I'm no longer getting my, you know, agriculture payments?
Mm-hmm. What I really don't like is I don't like the strong man because of this. Donald Trump has, for the first time in my life, and I wasn't plugged into politics my whole life, but it's the first time I've known when other big deals like senators and cabinet members and billionaires were terrified of the chief executive. And like yesterday when he said, like, hey, does anyone here want to go against Elon? And they're like, ooh, and then they all started clapping. I'm like, oh my God. You could build the perfect president for me, and I wouldn't want that president to be governing by fear and seeing the cowardice of the people around him. And to me, maybe the MAGA people out there hate me saying that, and you're like, oh, you just have Trump derangement syndrome. I don't feel like it on this issue, because it doesn't matter to me if it's Donald Trump or J.D. Vance or Joe Biden. I like to see people stand up to the chief executive, especially the people who he or she has purposefully put around him or her.
Yeah, but this guy has this cloak of almost invincibility because
I know
of the way that what he's gotten through in the past. I just wonder how long this plank is for folks who are willing to walk it with him, because he's going to be fine. You're going to wind up being the dumbest human being ever, meaning the people that are with him, because yeah, that's what he'll call you.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.